Jesus. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time. Welcome. We're glad to have you. This is K-Files Day, and we immediately after the show will begin sending out the K-Files e-zine. So if you have not yet subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, that's our free weekly newsletter. Just go over to my website, and you'll see in red letters where it says K-Files e-zine. Just click that. It takes about 10 seconds to subscribe, and then you'll get an activation email with a link that you have to use to activate your email. That way we won't spam you or anyone else. And it's no strings attached. It is truly free. Okay, so be sure you do that. This has been an interesting week. This has been talk show hell. Now, this happens every once in a while. It really gets bad like this. About every 2 years, we go through a period of time like this. We've just had a lot of weird stuff happening. The cable company did some things, made some changes, and so forth. For some reason... And I don't know what that reason was, why they made the changes, but they did. And that's been causing our internet connection to blink on and off, if you will. But everything is working exactly as it should, except Ustream. Now, some of you, even though it is a radio talk show, it's radio, some of you prefer watching the video feed. Well, all it is, it's a talk radio show, all right? It's a radio show. And we just turn the camera on, and you get to watch me do a radio show. But some of you prefer watching that as opposed to listening to the radio. And that's fine. We provide that. However, remember, it is absolutely lowest priority on the list. And as Ustream makes changes in their software, they blink off and on. Now, our radio feed is rock solid tonight, and things are back, should be back to normal with the radio feed. But the video feed is blinking on and off. There's nothing I can do about that. That's not us. It's not our software. It is not our connection. It's not our cable. It is entirely 100% a problem at Ustream. I've addressed it to them. I don't know if they are going to fix it. I don't know if they can fix it. But again, that is lowest priority to us, and it makes absolutely it's frustrating for those of you who are trying to watch. But it makes not even a dent in what we do with the radio show, all right? So I encourage you, if you are having some problems with the video feed, I encourage you to click one of the radio links. I've put two of them there, alternative links, and I encourage you to click one of those and enjoy the radio show. One of them is iRadio LA or Indy 104 out in Los Angeles. The other one is Dewberry Jam. You can also go over to Ghost Radio X, KC Online, lots of them around the country carrying the Kevin Smith Show. We'll be back with my guest, Ed Grimsley, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. And, Ed, are you still with me on the line?
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me, Ed?
I'm sorry. Everything is all messed up. I can't hear what you're saying.
Well, okay. It has been, as I said, folks, talk show hell. And, you know, there's not a whole lot I can do about that. What you don't know is during that break, what happened was the telephone system went dead. All right, the telephone system. So I quickly had to plug in the backup system, and that's what we're trying to use here. And we'll give Ed another try here and see if we can get him hooked up and on air. If not, we will go to open line tonight, and that'll be you know, we'll just wrap up the week in talk show hell, I guess. What we're hoping to do is talk with Ed. Ed, can you hear me now, Ed?
Yeah, Kevin, you're all...
Okay, if you... hang on. If we can't bring Ed in, if we can't make this work, then we're just going to have to go to open line. You know, last night, one of the things that we did, and I know a lot of you didn't get to see it live. I hope most of you saw this, by going to the website and clicking on Watch Latest Show. I hope most of you saw that. And, if you did, you saw last night's show where we talked about this video that, is circulating around the internet. The video comes from CNN. All right, that's where the video comes from. It is from CNN, and they were in Michael Jackson's former home, and there is what many people are saying is the ghost of Michael Jackson crossing the hallway. I did a show about that last night, and what we did was dealt with that video. And what we did not do is we did not do a show on Michael Jackson. We did a show on ghosts, and we did a show on that video. The official explanation that is being cited or being stated by CNN is that was the shadow of a crew member. And what I did on the show is I dealt with that and said, you know, it can't be that. The shadows are not right. I'm not saying that it is a ghost, and I'm certainly not saying it's the ghost of Michael Jackson. But the explanation CNN gave doesn't fit the video. So we're going to give one more try here with Ed and see if we have him online. Ed, we can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you better now. I called you back, so.
Yep. I don't know what the deal is. Our primary phone system went down just as I was trying to call you during that break. And then I used the backup system. And the backup system is what we're on now, and I have no explanation. I've been telling the folks this has been talk show hell for a week now. If we do have to go open line, what we will do, folks, is we will, if the phone system doesn't hold out and with the guest and we have to go open line, we'll start off with that topic, and that is the Michael Jackson show that we did last night. That's what some people are calling it. It was a ghost show. We didn't do a show about Michael Jackson. But we'll just kick it off with, what do you think about what you saw in the show last night? And don't call me and tell me, well, I didn't get to see the show because you had so many technical problems, because I've, for 24 hours, had it up on the website. You could have gone and seen it. Okay, my guest is Ed Grimsley, and we're going to try to do what I really want us to do this evening, and talk about sky watching, and talk about the this phenomena that Ed Grimsley has brought to the attention of the world, and that is using night vision glasses, night vision goggles, to view UFOs. Ed, welcome back to the show. I'm delighted you could be with us.
How you doing, Kevin? I can hear you a little better now when I called you back. And hopefully we can get this accomplished. I'm no government interference, but...
Well, we'll try.
It's something that's very unique in doing with these glasses, and the things that you can see is just totally amazing. And when you put the glasses up and focus in on the stars and stuff, and then suddenly you'll see one of the stars start out from stop and move off and go real fast and fly away. So it's not really a star. It's a spacecraft. And it's just sitting there playing like a star. And this happens quite often. And we just get used to all these different things, and we know, and we teach people how to look at them. I've got some people here. I'm at a, getting ready to do a skywatch tonight. And
where are you doing this skywatch tonight?
It's in Calistoga, right near my home.
Mm-hmm. Out in California.
And there's people here from Sacramento and the sun and some other people coming. And it's not dark yet, and probably won't get dark until about 9.
Mm-hmm.
So they came a long ways to see the skywatch, and I'm sure that they're going to see some good things. We did a skywatch last week where there was some awesome craft coming in, and there's been a lot of these newer ones coming in that are almost like a giant soap bubble and or a giant orb, but they're the size of a hot air balloon or better. And they just can come in out of nowhere. It's almost like it's a spiritual craft. And or like a kid blew a soap bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You can see through it with the glasses or into it, but you cannot see it with your naked eye. And sometimes you see them over subdivisions or passing over an area or... It's just...
And you said it looks something like a big bubble. Ed, have you seen this video that Jaime Maussan has put on YouTube of a big orb? It's in the daytime, and it's bright, and you can see it with the naked eye. However, it's a big orb, and, well, we lost him. Oh, my. What fun it is trying to do live radio with so much outside help. All right, we'll try to get him back on the phone. Oh, my. Well, folks, it just never ceases. It never stops. There's always something, isn't there? All right, Ed, I was saying, have you seen that video by Jaime Maussan with a big orb? And it drops off in the air a whole bunch of other little orbs, and they start just swarming around. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it, but I did meet Jaime at the Laughlin conference, and I was telling him what these big orbs can do, and I see them sometimes fly over a subdivision and settle in right over a house 100 feet high, and then move to another house, and then to another house. And then I see it zoom off, like as if it's going to disappear, and then it comes back by and goes in another direction. And you can't see it with a naked eye unless you're looking through the glasses at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a number of people here at different times with the goggles see a few of them, and they're just totally amazed by it. And I'm pretty much amazed, too. And when we were back at the show in Arizona, at Sedona, I went out and on my own was looking after other things, and some of the canyons and the big crevices there,
mm-hmm.
you could see some of them moving around and passing along the canyon wall and traveling. So,
well, now, can you see
entity?
Can you see to the with the night vision goggles? Can you see inside of those orbs? Can you see what's on the inside?
You can see inside a little bit, because you'll see a little imagery in there, but I think it's mostly showing you the back side of it at the front side. It's sort of like mm-hmm. wrapping the back through, and I think that's why it's blending in so well.
So what do you think they are? Do you think they are vehicles, or do you think they're living entities?
Well, I think they're a vehicle, because I have seen another one come out of one.
Mm-hmm.
That was smaller, and I think it's a transportation device for either a spiritual world or an entity that has a different level. It's so amazing, and I'm seeing more and more of them. I'm hoping to show some people a few of them here tonight, and basically, you just can't believe it until you see it. It's like if some kid blew a giant soap bubble the size of a hot air balloon, perfectly round, and it looks just like that bubble that you can see in the daytime, but only these you don't get to see unless you got some infrared going on it. And if you're dark, you have to have night vision glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you once you see it and you hit it with a laser, it jams. I mean,
What do you mean it jams?
It just takes off. It gets out of there.
I was with you up at the conference in Sedona. And on the final night of the conference, the skies cleared enough for you to do a sky watch. And the skies were really pretty active. There were a lot of UFOs up there that people were seeing. And
I think the people counted about 150 UFOs, and probably 40 of them were maybe a satellite type or smaller vehicle, slower moving vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty close to the best accuracy I could get on it.
And you can see these almost every night. If the sky is clear, you can see them out there. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah, they're all over the world. They're not just, in Calistoga, or like last weekend, or 4th of July. I was up at the Mount Adams at Trout Lake, where James Gilliland is. And there was a very big one came overhead quite a ways out. It just powered up, or as they say, I call it illuminated. It just fired up and got real bright. Real bright. And was very huge, and it was just lighting up the sky so bright that people were seeing it very boldly without glasses.
Well, that's one of the things that I noticed when we were at Sedona. While I was there at Sedona with you, and I was there for the sky watch, I did not look through the night vision goggles. Because I've done that before, and I wanted all those folks who were there for the conference to get their chance to look through night vision goggles, so I didn't. But a lot of the UFOs that you pointed out to them, you used a laser, little laser pointer, and you would point it up at a UFO and say, follow that beam of light up, and they would follow it up with their night vision goggles. a lot of those that you pointed out were big enough and bright enough that I could see them without night vision goggles. I could see the movement up there.
What you're looking for, your mind and your eyes can focus in better. And if you look through night vision glasses a little bit, your eyes will start to adjust, and it's almost like you get a better night vision out of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, and I don't think I've asked you in any of your previous appearances here on this show, I get email from people who say that as far as they're concerned, it seems to them that UFO activity is increasing. I've had a few that say that UFO activity is not increasing, but most people who address that issue and in email to me say they think there's more UFO activity than before. What do you say? Is it increasing, or is it staying about the same, or decreasing? What's going on?
It's definitely increasing by at least two or threefold. Where I would go out 3-4 years ago, and I would see maybe 20 or 30 definite craft, and you see a few bugs, a few bats, and some birds, but you definitely know the difference, and it's not hard to tell it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look, you're going to find that the craft are more available than ever. And everywhere I go, I see a high number of them. Where back a few years ago, if I went someplace, I might see 20 or 30 and maybe 10, 15 satellites going around. And now, if I go out and spend a couple of hours, I see in the neighborhood of 100, 120, and maybe 20 or 30 satellite possibilities because they travel at a different rate of speed. These things can stop, turn, go back the other way. And I've got them on video. I've got some really good stuff, and I'm getting ready to rock the world with it. I'm trying to get an appointment with Obama to show him stuff first. And I don't want to do the nation any harm. But I can tell you that it's definitely increased. And there's new types of stuff coming into view, like the bubble, the orb. And
what kind of response are you getting as you're trying to get an appointment with the president? Are you getting any response at all back?
None.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I might just put it on YouTube and say, hey, guy, I'd like to talk to you. And remember me, I shook your hand when you were running for election, but now I can't get an appointment with you.
All right, Ed, we have to take a break. We're going to step away from the mics for just a moment, and we'll be back right after this, hopefully. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are still fighting the phone system to keep Ed online. Lost him when we went to break, but we've got him back again. Ed, you said you might just put your message to the president on YouTube. Is that correct? Well, I guess we don't have Ed.
No, I'm here, but they're cutting me out, so I can't hardly hear you.
Okay, I said, you said that you plan on putting your message to the president on YouTube, is that right?
Yes, I'm going to do this in the near future. And I've got videos of three big spacecraft coming in out of deep space, shallowing out, and then going out and dropping into uniformation, and going out and dropping towards the ocean. And they're huge. They're at 150 miles up or so, they look like they're about 1,000 feet across.
Yeah, that is pretty. There? Yeah, that's pretty big. All right, now.
Size, but
yeah, go ahead.
Well, in our adventure last year at the Tesla convention, I showed Richard Hoagland's girlfriend and about 40 other people a great big mothership that came over, and it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then it let out two by two type of, like a NOAA thing, and let out spacecraft. And there was eight of them flew out of the craft and flew off on patrol about 200 miles up. And there's no way that the government can deny that. And I've got pictures of craft that are going one way, and they're bright and glowing, and they're about 250 up there. And in turn, this one just stops and zooms back the direction it came from. And we've got pictures of ones that were setting still, and then they just started out and go the opposite way they were before they stopped. And I've got viewings many times of craft blasting another one, and then the other one maybe has a rescue capsule, and it turns on a strobe light to get rescued, and some other craft will come in and fly over, and one will escort and fly cover for it, and then two more showed up, was flying cover, and then the smallest one, the first one, went in, picked up the strobe light, and flew away, and the other two, one broke out in front and one broke in behind, and they flew away, but they flew out towards the moon. And you could watch the moon that they were heading out that direction.
What do you think that means?
NASA's, well, I think it means there's a base on the moon, but I also know there's bases in the ocean, and I don't think we've been alone for a long, long time, and I think these things are either fighting with each other or they're fighting over us. It's just hard to tell. But with NASA and the secret government and whoever's out there not telling us the truth, they're keeping us in the dark. They're trying to stop us from having these night vision glasses. And the more people that are buying them and the more people that are communicating with me, the information is just getting awesome. It's like what they're seeing and what they're doing. I mean,
well, you know,
I'm seeing
out in Sedona when you did the conference out there, and then you did the Sky Watch on the last night. I've told this on the air, but it bears telling again. There was a guy standing right behind me. I was standing out on the edge. That was nearest to the street. And there was a guy with some night vision goggles that he was borrowing from you. You had several pair there. And
we had about 15 pair.
Yeah, he looked up into the sky and followed your pointer, your laser pointer up. And I wasn't paying much attention to him, but all of a sudden I hear, "Oh, my God, I can't believe what I'm looking at." And he was just like a kid in the candy store after that. He was saying, "Man, this is incredible. This is," he said, "you know, I it's not that I didn't believe, Ed, but I didn't think I would see something like this." And he and I talked for a little while. But you do these sky watches all across the country. And I bet you get responses like that frequently, don't you?
Yeah, it's very common. I think I can say it on the air because it's not too bad, but a lot of people will see something, they're looking through the glasses, and their response is, "Oh, shit."
No, you can't say that on the air.
You can't.
Okay. That is against the FCC regulations, and you and I and everybody can wind up getting in trouble over that.
All right, we won't say that word.
Yeah.
Anyway, the nickname for the glasses is that because of what people see and say.
Mm-hmm.
And we also call them the Oh My God glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people are just totally amazed about what they really see when they finally get involved and look.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I tell you, you have to have a high-dollar pair, but get PVS7s, Generation 3, Grade A tubes. And I can help people get them at wholesale and discounts, and I do it all the time. But there's other companies out that are selling cheaper tubes inside of housings and rip-off, knock-off things. And you can't see half as good. Other people are saying, oh, no, these other glasses will work, and they really don't work. And then somebody goes down to a cheap store and buys a $400, $500 pair. And then they tell me there's no such thing, and you just can't see this, that I'm seeing birds and bats, and I'm dingy. And then I try to explain to them, come up, look through my glasses, and see what I see, and see what other people see, and then you'll find out the truth. If you just want an opportunity to tell me I'm dingy, I mean, one outfit, this guy is saying how bad I am, and that I'm lying to the world, and there's no aliens, there's only God, and that I should sell my glasses and take George Norrie and I to therapy. Well, George doesn't need my money to get therapy. He can get his own. The truth of it is, that those people are like that, are negative. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to see the truth. They just want to sit there and mouth off like a bunch of idiots that, you know, it's not real, it's not true. And I could have seen it. I got this $500 pair of night visions, and I looked twice, and I never saw anything. First of all, they got to have their head out of that anal position so that they can see and think. And, it, you know, and I offer them, let me know where you live. If I'm in your area, I'll give you a free watch. I'll even give you lessons and show you how to do it. And, you know, they shut up and they won't respond.
That's the nature of this business. There are people who I can put a picture up. I can say, I saw this. My friend over here took the picture. I was standing there. I saw it. It was in the sky. And I what you're looking at in the picture is exactly what I saw. I can do that. And I will have people call in and write in that start offering all kinds of explanations for why I didn't see it. And it's just the nature of the business. I'm sorry?
They need to come out and see it for themselves.
Well, yeah, and that's the point. You're offering that opportunity. You know, you offer the sky watches, and that's a great opportunity for people to get out there and see it for themselves. Now, you're doing this sky watch in Calistoga tonight. Do you have any planned anywhere else in the U.S. in the near future?
Well, I have a lot of people. I have people trying to get me into Europe, and some people want me to do a thing in Barcelona, Spain, and one in England. And I have trouble trying to get the glasses out of the country. They think I'm a terrorist or something, taking the glasses out to show people UFOs. That's their excuse. But I'm working on putting on one in Hawaii, and I've got people helping work with me, but I have to be very careful who I get to help me in that, because I've been ripped off recently by people who say they're going to help, and they steal the money, and they lie, and they cheat, and they try to get popular and get recognition with classes and me so that they can go off on their own and mess the world around, you know. We're not looking at a bunch of honest people in this world, so.
No, there's not a whole lot of honest people left on the planet. That's true.
They've taken them all. They've taken them all to Mars for recycling.
Well, not all of them, but it's a diminishing portion of the population. The honest folks of the world. That's a diminishing portion of the population. But
I know you and I are both pretty honest, but I'm kind of doubting you a little bit, me a lot.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah, I don't know if you're really Kevin Smith or if you're one of those alien guys that got dropped off down here and said, okay, you're going to be Kevin.
Well, that's what it is, of course. And that might explain why each and every time I fly, TSA pulls me aside. They say it's random. Hogwash. I'm on a watch list. They pull me aside every time. And the last time, Ed, was the last time I flew was when I flew out to Hollywood for the premiere of Moon Rising. And they did full body x-rays of me and then asked me, are you wearing a money belt? And I said, well, you just did an x-ray. What did you see? And they didn't like that answer. And then, can you believe this? They said, are you wearing briefs or boxers? Now, what's that got to do with terrorism? Anyway, they really did ask that, and I said...
They're doing a Michael Jordan check there.
Well, they really did ask that, and I really did say, you just took an x-ray. What did you see? And that's a topic for another time and a whole different radio program, because that has nothing to do with paranormal. The only thing paranormal about that is it amazes me, first of all, that any politician would enact any law like that that enables that, thinking that that's going to make us safer. That is insane.
Remember,
that's paranormal.
Nobody accuses them of being smart.
Well, that's
They're
true.
Politicians.
Well, that's true.
You don't hear accusations about them saying, "Boy, they're smart politicians." usually hear, "How stupid is that rule?"
Well, let me ask. Diverged, but it was because you were talking about possibly going to Spain. Is it possible that someone over there could get night vision equipment from there that would serve your purpose, and then you could go over there and show them how to use it?
That's possible, but it's very expensive.
Well, yeah.
Can you picture having 10 pair here and then have to hook up with 10 other pairs and other types? And adjust your cameras and your things to it so you can go out and put it into effect.
But that may be the only way you'll be able to do Europe.
It may be, and I'm working on that kind of thing, and I've got some people that are investors that might get involved. But then, if I do that, then I've got to spend a lot of time doing that to pay the cost of it.
You're exactly right. We have to take a break. We'll be back, or we'll try to be, right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. A lot of people refer to him as the night vision guy. Now, Ed, let's talk a little bit about, you're talking about these are expensive, these night vision goggles that you use. These are they what, military grade or above?
Well, they're equal to, but the alpha grade tubes are better than the other tubes, and then the glasses, the frame, and the housing. Some people think they got a real good deal, and they went on the line somewhere and got a pair for $2,900, and then they can't see through them very well. And it's because there's tubes made in Russia, Holland, other places that aren't as quality. And if you want to see these things, you got to see through good tubes. And so the company that I work with, if you want a pair, instead of spending $3,800 for a higher grade pair or $4,000, some people are charging ridiculous prices, and some people are trying to charge a fairer price. But we get, basically, we get a pair of glasses that normally would sell for $37.38, and through the Ed Grimsley discount, I get it to the people for $3,200.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good quality, and they got a guaranteed tube, get a 2-year warranty on them, and it's a pretty awesome deal.
Well, I know they're not cheap, and one of the things that you told me about is that there are people that are going together and sort of forming a club, and then they put their money together and buy a set of these really good night vision goggles. And so it's not as expensive for each person because they sort of do it as a club. Are there very many of those around the country?
There's a few, and there's one group of 10 people that basically they got three pair
mm-hmm.
and ordered them after they looked through mine. And, you know, that's not much money when you got 10 people.
Yeah.
And so it's all good, but one pair is good, but then who wants to hand it off when you see a couple of UFOs flying side by side, you know, 80 miles up, cruising overhead, and, you know, who wants to let go and say, here, look, because you don't want to take your eyes off.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to watch it for as long as you can.
Yeah, because you're going to try to figure it out and what they're doing and that. But it's really awesome when you're standing there with a couple of people and three big, beautiful craft that are circular, about 150, 200 feet across, with little domes on them like your average Hollywood saucer.
Yeah.
Comes flying by you a couple thousand feet high and about a half a mile away, and turn and make a big horseshoe around you and make a big circle and then fly back the other way. And there's no way that anybody that doesn't have a pair of glasses gets to see it. And, I mean, nobody was handing glasses off on that one. And I wasn't handing them off to anybody either, even though I'd seen it before. I was like, sorry, Charlie, I guess you don't got any glasses in your hand. Oh, well. But.
Now, when you do a Skywatch, you have it rigged up normally so that there are people that have some glasses that they borrow from you and they're looking into the sky. But other people, you've got it set up so that you've got it's showing on a TV screen. What everybody's seeing up in the air is showing on the TV screen as well, right?
Well, if I do a large group of people, I try to do the TV thing, but it's very difficult to set up stuff, and then people are bumping things, and when they knock your $1,000 television over, it gets frustrating because they're looking up and walking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set it up on certain circumstances if I know I'm going to have a lot of people. And if not, I try to keep a spotting pair and try to let four or five pair out and ask them to share and have several lasers so that we can point out to each other. And that's, you know, like your average little group. But I'm doing some things and experimenting with some stuff, and I don't want to come out and say it over the radio because I've had people come to me and say, oh, I want to work with you. Teach me how to do this. I'd like to set up a Ed Grimsley Skywatch and share with you and that. And you teach them and you share and they get glasses and then they go off and it's the Joe Blow Skywatch and they forget that they know you because they think that they learned everything there is to know and they no longer need you. Well, when that happens to you two or three times, you kind of doubt the human race a little bit and should you even teach anybody, but my thing is I want the truth out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting out there. It's getting out there. I think in just one location, there was six pairs of glasses sold last week. And I'm not making profit on it. I'm helping people know But if I sell 15 pair of glasses through this, I get another pair of glasses free. So I'm building my inventory without ripping the world off. And, you know, that, you know, if you're working hard, you deserve a little something. And that's a little, but it's something. And,
well, yeah. Yeah. So, people are able to buy their night vision equipment through you at right about wholesale price, and then you get credit for that.
And then after 15 pair, I get a pair of glasses that is credited to me from the company.
Mm-hmm.
That's doing it, and I've had other companies make me other deals, but some of their glasses and some of the tubes are just not good. I mean, I don't want to represent somebody that's selling bad tubes or Mickey Mouse tubes, and you'd have to squint to them to see the dog in the backyard. And these things can really do the job. And this type of glasses that I recommend, you can stick a little mounted camera on one side and look through the other,
mm-hmm.
and you can get some awesome footage. You should see some of the things that's coming in, and people that are really getting tuned in and are getting good at it. But then again, I have these people out there that are taking a picture of a flock of birds or geese or sand cranes up there a mile or two in the sky at night and saying, oh, a squadron of UFOs, baloney, it's a squadron of birds.
And,
you know.
Oh yeah. And that's a little bit amazing too, because I mean I've looked through night vision equipment many times. But until you came along, I had not looked for UFOs with night vision equipment. However, I have used night vision equipment a lot, and you know, it's amazing that they can misidentify a flock of birds, because a bird still looks like a bird.
Yeah, and, you know, there's another thing that's upsetting is that to some very, very, very well-known people, there was somebody who had called and bought a pair of glasses, and I told him, well, let me know, and I'll shoot your glasses, I'll tell you how to focus, and the best time of night to see them. And basically how to go about it. And so you'll know the difference between birds, bats, and bugs, and spacecraft, and satellites, and I'll explain to you. I mean, you know, I've been doing this so many years that I kind of broke out of the closet and said, hey, you know, the world needs to know about this because it's intensifying, it's getting really strong, and I need to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then here I see some footage of this triangle-shaped thing, and it's got these lights underneath and all that. Well, you know, I could fire up a toy flying object with no sound hooked and fly this thing around in the sky and video it with my night vision and say, oh, this here's this UFO.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. It's turning and moving like a model airplane, or it's turning and moving like a flying wing. Now, I look at this stuff, and I study it. And some of that stuff I don't believe. Some of it I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what are you going to do if somebody's out there trying to get known or reputation for doing this?
Yeah, well, I don't know. There are hoaxers that are out there. And it's unfortunate. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. Ed, this whole UFO Skywatch thing has really taken off. I mean, there are lots of people around the country and a lot of people in Canada that are doing these UFO sky watches, and the numbers just keep growing and growing. Now, let me ask you about the UFO activity. You said it's growing, but what about, you said you've seen them shooting at each other. Do you see that happen more often now or less often or about the same?
It's sort of about the same. You might go out three or four nights and not see anything, but you will see way off out in the deep space a big flash bulb light go off, like it's just somebody was taking a flash camera. And I suspect that they're further out and battling, and I suspect if they get in closer and break through that you'll see it up closer. And I don't know who they are, and I don't know who they're fighting about, and I don't know whose side I'd be on. But I'll tell you that it's definitely happening, and NASA has got to know it. The government has got to know it. And they're probably part of what's going on and part of the cover-up. Now, over the 4th of July holiday, there was a speaker that I listened to, and he's a good friend of Alfred Weber's, and he's a lawyer. And he's saying that when he was young and his dad worked with the government and the NASA things, that they made him part of a problem or part of a program where they were teleporting him to different places, and they'd been to Mars several times with our government.
Oh, wait a minute. Time out. You said this is a lawyer that says he's been teleported to Mars?
Yes.
Several times he's been teleported.
Huh?
And what did he do on Mars when they teleported him to Mars? What did he do there?
Well, there's thousands and thousands of beings that are living on Mars, is what he's saying, and I kind of believe him because there's a man in his 70s that has been a UFO pilot, and he's going to let me have his whole story and blow it open after he passes away because he doesn't want to lose his pension, he doesn't want to have his family killed, and if he gives up what he knows, it'll cost him everything. So, Joanne Richards, you met her, you've seen some of the stuff, and she's telling you what it's about. And there's a lot of other people. This guy, he gave me details on things that only he would know if he'd been there. And, you know, when they started teleporting things, like the trying to do the Philadelphia experiment, and they left people inside the deck and wedged into parts and disoriented body parts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They got that technology, and they were experimenting with it. You don't think that they just stopped because that one thing went bad. They secretly moved on and went to other things. And some of those people were damaged and injured and told their story. And the government has been doing a lot of things for a long time that we don't have a clue about, and they're not about to tell us. And the things that they can do and have been able to do is one of the things they're doing is they're keeping the technology. They're advancing themselves with the people's money. And that, you know, we spend it to NASA. NASA spends it, does things, and doesn't tell us about it. Keeps it a dark secret.
Well, you don't think NASA would be involved in this teleporting and stuff like that, do you? I mean, that's probably military.
No. NASA's been involved in more things than you can ever imagine.
Now, this guy that says he's been teleported to Mars, was he teleported by NASA?
I think what I should do is get him in touch with you and have you get him on the show. I think your listeners would love to hear about it.
I think it's
true.
Well, I certainly would love to hear about it.
Andy can tell you things himself. And if I try to explain it to you, I'd get it half wrong. But I'd rather be half right than half wrong. And what it is that other kids were put into this program because adults were having difficulty being teleported someplace and teleported back and coming back partly mental. And also in their chamber or the tube that they were teleporting, starting out, a lot of the first three Navy experimental jobs that they did, they were sending the people and they were ending up there dead. And they found out that they were taking too long, and that the way they had it set up, that it was taking the oxygen out of the tube, mm-hmm. and they were losing it, and they were teleporting them and suffocating them at the same time. So children could go further and be teleported and not use as much oxygen and also not have the thickness and the ability of the brain cell and material and heart wall problems that they would have on younger beings.
Did this lawyer describe the facilities there on Mars? Did he tell you what it was like?
A lot of the facilities have like big domes and head pictures and stuff and cave entrances, and you can be teleported there, and then you can make it to an entrance and that. And then I guess there's a lot of reptilian type animals and creatures up there that just love to eat any of the humans that are around. You know, and this is the stuff that he's saying. Him and I talked for hours, and he talked to a lot of the people up there at the conference. And, you know, he seems very smart, very intelligent, and he doesn't seem a bit crazy other than the fact that he's a lawyer.
Now, you know, my oldest daughter is a lawyer.
Yeah.
But the other two turned out okay.
The other two turned out okay.
No, she's pretty great. She usually has new lawyer jokes to tell me when she talks to me. So, lawyer jokes are okay.
Well, you know, Dick Cheney might have been a really bad vice president. He might be corrupt. He might be evil. Who knows? But you got to hand it to him. He shot a lawyer and got away with it.
Ed, I think you must have been teleported to Mars. I think you're a little mental now.
I only went when I was a kid.
Oh, my.
Is that why they say Ed Grimsley's far out?
Oh, well, yeah. Ed Grimsley is kind of far out, I guess. All right, now this thing on Mars, did you talk with him about the possibility of some of these things you see with night vision maybe being based on Mars? Did he say anything about that?
We talked a little bit, and there's bases on the moon, there's bases on Mars. There's bases in some of the mountains here. There's bases under the ocean. There might even be portals or passageways to go way back and come in from the ocean and go outside. Where I saw the three craft drop into the ocean one night, I later went and I looked and used the Google Earth and the things I could, and it looks like there is five or six pyramid-likes or giant mountains in a row off the coast of California, a couple hundred miles out. And there's also areas out there that look like as if it's farmland under the ocean, and they're laid out in sections and squares. And so I think a lot has been going on much longer than we ever think. And you just, you know, when you get into this, you really can't believe it. I've had a Coast Guard commander that doesn't want his name mentioned or who and how, but he was involved in helping the Navy hook up underwater docking stations for U.S. Navy deep space craft.
For U.S. Navy deep space craft?
Yes. I think, what's his name, Gary something, the one they want to prosecute for hacking into the
Gary McKinnon.
Computers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think they ought to give him a medal or give him an award, because he found out that there are commanders and there are ships, and they're not boats. These are things that travel in and out of space, and it's been going on for a long time. And in 1561, a person who came to one of my sky launches brought me a paper, and it's all about how a city in Germany found a number of their citizens looking up, watching a spacecraft's battle with each other, blowing each other up in space above the town. And I think it's Nuremberg, Germany.
Yeah, 1561. That's
1561.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
So I'm not the first one that's seen it.
Yeah. I'm going to open up the telephone line, and people can call in with their questions or comments if they'd like. The telephone number is 480-553-7232. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. I have no idea if our entire telephone system is going to work tonight. I hope the entire system does work tonight, and I hope you can call in, and I hope you will, with your questions or comments about UFO sky watching, with night vision, and some of the things that Ed has seen, and maybe you have some of these night vision goggles and you'd like some tips, or maybe you're thinking about getting night vision goggles and you'd like some tips. This is the guy to talk to. He's the one that sort of invented the whole thing, or discovered it, and brought it to us in a public forum. And again, the telephone number, 480-553-7232, or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website, and you simply click on where it says flash message. You'll scroll down, you'll see it, and click where it says flash message, and then you can send me your message with your comment or your question. I'll read it, and we'll let Ed comment on it. Please make your flash message relative to the show. Here's one that comes from Canada and is not about the show. It's about the technical difficulties. Those technical difficulties I have nothing to do with. It's only in the video, and this is, after all, a radio show. So I encourage you to go to one of our affiliate stations that we have listed. If you're having technical problems with the video, click on one of the alternative links there and listen. Ed, this thing about, I mean, you kind of threw me a curve there when you said that you met a lawyer that was involved in a program where they were teleporting him to Mars. Did he ever tell you for what reason?
Yeah, younger.
Yeah, did he tell you what was the reason that they were teleporting him? What was he doing?
Well, they were training and experimenting and working with it, and they teleported him a lot around 1981. And there's quite a bit of stuff that's gone on, and his father had been teleported and let his son come into the program, and his father later died of a disease that's caused to the valves or tissues of the heart from being teleported, and it makes it so they're not flexible, as elastic as it should be, and because of the molecule exchanges and things that go on. Now, Bill Lear, I knew him back in 77, 78, and I knew Jack West, who was a writer and a book person, and they were good friends, and I got hooked up from them. And I talked to Bill Lear, John Lear's father, about some of the invention ideas that I had, what we could do. And we were going to work on some of these things. Well, Bill's friend, Jack West, told me that Bill's people and his company had been working with some teleporting and that, and that they had done it with some fruits and vegetables and that, but not with, you know, mental and bone and energy and pieces. And so I know that some of that was possible. And I also know that the Philadelphia experiment was the real thing and that it happened. And a lot of military people died and was distorted and pieces in the wrong place and some of their feet stuck in the deck.
All right. Now, how do you know that that happened?
Well, because I've seen film on it, I've talked to somebody whose relative was there and got messed up with it, and that the government continued on the slide and tried to cover it all up. And they showed me pictures of a relative that had that. And also there's some talking where there was a man who spoke about the Philadelphia experiment and that he was damaged by it, and a lot were killed. And believe me, this sounds just like our government. They wouldn't care as long as they could get what they wanted. And if they killed a few soldiers in their experiment, oh well, we're replaceable. And so much knowledge is out there that's being hidden from us, and the ability to do these things. And, you know, most people wouldn't even believe that these things are possible or that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start doing like me, and you let the world know about this, and people are coming to you from everywhere with information and talking to you about it and showing you things, it's all of a sudden like, here I am. And they want me to be some kind of an authority on it. And I'm not a special authority, but I'm getting a lot of information, and I'm knowing a lot more than I did last year.
Okay, but as far as you're concerned, your sources of information that tell you that the Philadelphia experiment actually happened, you think those are reliable sources and good testimony?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know a Navy commander that told me that it actually happened and that it was real. And then I've had private citizens that had relatives that were aboard the ship, and our government didn't think enough of them to take them off or put a few rabbits in their place or something. And they were so sure that it was going to work that they zapped them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't remember his name, but I'll tell you that I used to grade with my road grader and my road equipment, and he lived not too far away from here. He's like 85 years old or so, and he is the fellow who ran the bikini test and the atoll tests,
mm-hmm.
and made things to where they could slam the blast up against another bearing and flatten it and see how it is. And he also was one of the heads of the creating the atomic clock. And when I talked to him, we'd sit down, and he'd bring me lunch out while I was grading his road and fixing it up. And he'd bring me out a soda and some lunch and sit down and talk with me. And some of the things we talked about was totally amazing. And the things that he told me he really knew about, but he couldn't go public with it, he says, there's just so much in this world going on that you can't believe. And I told him about me seeing the spacecraft and battling when I was a kid in 1961. And he grinned and he says, yeah, wasn't that awesome? So he knew about it. He knew about it.
Let me give out the telephone number again. And it, you know, like I say, it may be that that phone line is not functioning, but we want to give people the opportunity to call in. The way things have been going here this week, folks, all I can tell you is it has been talk show hell, and you know, we're gradually digging out from under all of that. But The telephone number is 480-553-7232. 480-553-7232. And the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. So if you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. We'll be glad to put you on the air and let you speak with Ed Grimsley and ask your question or make your comment. Now, if you're outside the USA, you can send me a flash message. You do that by going to my website. Scroll down. You'll see the link that says flash message. And then just click it, and you can send me a flash message, and I'll read it on the air. Ed, we've got, let's see, how much time? We've got a couple of minutes here before we have to take a break. And let me ask you this. You've been doing this now for a number of years, watching these things in the sky. Have you come to any conclusions at all about this? I mean, is there anything that you can say, well, here's what I know?
Yeah, I have. I'm pretty well setting my thoughts into the fact that we may have been brought here from different corners of the galaxy by what could be aliens or other beings or creations of God. And I think that we're either being protected from destruction or annihilation, or we're here to help replenish other planets. And this is the sanctuary. This is the trout farm. Come pick up another bucket and drop them in another river. And
why do you think we were brought here? What makes you think that we were brought here from other parts of the universe?
Well, because you look around you and you'll see somebody that's Japanese, you'll see somebody that's Korean, somebody that's Chinese, and all that they're Oriental, they're still all separate. They're still all different. And the black man is different than the white man, and the white man and the Irishman and the Indian and the Chinese and that. And to me, I don't think we all came out from under a rock here on this planet. And I don't think that we were all created this way. I think that God created, or the Creator created us, throughout the universe. And I think there's been trouble going on for a long time. And I think we're brought here, and we're part of the sanctuary. And I think some of the battles that I see going up there, it's possible that we have guardians, or call them guardian angels, that are protecting us from other things. And then maybe again, you know, maybe it's the wrong side trying to keep us under control here, and maybe the good guys are trying to get in.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Our guest this evening is Ed Grimsley, the night vision guy. And the telephone number is 480-553-7232. 480-553-7232. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. And, of course, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website and clicking on the link that says flash message, and then type in your message and send it to me. Ed, what do you think, I ask you if you had come to any conclusions or anything that you can say, here's what I know. You shared with us one of your conclusions. that we have all been dropped off here from other parts of the universe. Is there anything that you have discovered in all these years of doing night watches? Is there anything that you've come up with, that you've discovered, that you can say, you know, I didn't know this before I started doing night watch, but now I know it, and I know it to be true?
Yeah, well, one of the things was that I knew there was the oval-shaped looking flying saucer because I'd seen them earlier as a young boy. And I also knew that there was the oval-shaped ones that had fought up high when I was 16 years old in 61. But I had experiences where about 15 years ago, I saw a girl running barefoot across the crosswalk in front of me and looking over and crying in my distress. And the location, I yelled at her, "Do you need help?" And she said, "Yes, yes." And I said, "Jump in." And she jumped in. I said, "Who's chasing you?" And she said, "I'm part of a program, and I'm a hostage, and they are crossbreeding me with aliens." And I'm going, uh-oh, I picked up a nutso. And then I looked through the corner of my eye, and there was some guys in suits with a black limo, and they were looking for her. And she went to the bathroom at this gas station and bailed out through the back window of the station and was running and trying to get away.
So you picked her up. Where did you take her?
Well, the first thing I did was find out, and she says, "I got a bracelet, they can track me." And I looked down at her leg, and she had a bracelet on. And I had some aluminum foil and barbecue stuff in the back seat of my pickup, and I grabbed that roll of foil, and I says, "Wrap this around it." And she did. And then we kind of tried to hide, and I was watching these guys looking, and they had a little handheld thing, and they're looking for signal, or like they're tracking it different directions. And I gave her a hard hat, and I says, "Put this, tuck your hair up and put it underneath there." And I says, "Now, who are these people?" And she says, "Well, I have several children, and they've used me for breeding, and I've been abducted from my family a long time ago." And she told me the town her family lived in. And I said, "Well, I know that area." And she says, "Look at my stomach." And she held her shirt up a little bit. And there were several scars across there because she said they had to take the baby out because the head would be too big for her to do pelvic birth.
And, all right, she said that she was being used as a breeder for an alien-human hybrid program?
Yes.
When did this happen? What year was this?
This is about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up taking her to my shop, and these people had moved out of a rental that I had, and they left hats and clothes and shoes and stuff. And so I got her this stuff out. I took some tools in my shop and got the bracelet off of her, and I wrapped the bracelet in foil, and I buried it to remove it later. And I'm looking out of my ranch door where my shop was, and here's that car going back and forth on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me all about it, and I didn't know whether to believe it or disbelieve it, but there was something really strange going on. And when that happened, I then got her a wig that was left by the people that moved out, an old wig. I set her up with some money, some shoes, and a bus ticket, and I took her to a neighboring town and put her on the bus there as a blonde rather than a brunette, and gave her money enough to eat and survive. And she had tried to get back to her parents once before because she knew where they lived, and they had caught her just before her house and took her back. And they wanted her genetics, she said, to keep breeding children, and then they could crossbreed her genetics with another genetics and make a hybrid human that would be more responsive than the humans are here. And she told me that they planned, their plans were to hybrid and make a better human race and maybe even terminate the old one. That was pretty scary. And
Ed, you understand we've
started getting involved.
You understand we've got people that are hearing this right now that are in their minds, they're saying, okay, Ed Grimsley has gone around the corner on this one. This is just too fantastic to believe. But this actually happened to you, right?
Yeah, firsthand. And it's a little scary, but, you know, if I know a lot of things, and I don't let the world know that these things are supposedly taking place, and I have no way of proving that she really was or wasn't, but, I mean, what was the bracelet, and what was all these different things, and why was she running, and why were these people in suits with a limo searching and trying to find us, and I was turning corners and going back and forth while she was wrapping the aluminum foil around her ankle bracelet.
Now, did you ultimately take her back to her family in that town, or what happened?
No, her family wasn't in that town. Her family was about 200 miles away. And I got her money, I got her a bus ticket, and I placed her on the bus after I seen that the car wasn't around. And she went as a blonde, she went with no bracelet, but she told me she had an implant in her someplace that they could check her, and it had her all coded and ID'd, and she was worried that they might still do that. So where the thing was at was on her shoulder, she said. So we wrapped her shoulder a couple of times, and then she wore a long sleeve and had a coat and all this stuff. And she absolutely had nothing but bare feet and a lightweight pair of pants when I saw her jumping out of the bathroom window and running across the street in front of me at a stop sign. And I yelled to her, "Are you in trouble?" And then she said, "Yes, yes, help me." And so, you know, I'm just dumb enough to try to help. And, you know, for a long time, I wondered about her. I wondered who those people were and never had the answer. But getting involved in the UFO world and hearing stories and having people talk about stuff, and even one person tell me that he was a hybrid, I don't know if he was or not, but I don't think... I don't think those things are all coincidence. I think there's a lot more happening than anyone will ever know. And if I know of that situation and I don't tell somebody, then I'm holding back possibly the truth. And you know, I don't need people thinking I'm a nut more than I am, but if they want to think that, let them, because it's the truth, it happened. I'd go on the show, take a lie detector test, and you could tell the people the result. That took place. That happened. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to me that all the lying is the other side. NASA and government things taking place and what they're doing to people. And
all right, now let me ask you this, though. Why would you assume, let's say that her story is true, what would make you assume that those were government agents that were chasing her, as opposed to, say, some really super secret private industry kind of stuff going on?
Well, for one thing, they went right by me when I pulled in and watched the restaurant, and there was a government plate on it.
Well, there you go. That pretty well nails that down. And
they walked by this restaurant, and they had a little handheld thing with like a little pointing device, and they were turning it and watching the meter and the signal like they were looking for the frequency.
What do you think would have happened if they had found her with you?
They would have been hurt, because I got all ready for whatever. And I, you know, I don't want to talk tough, but
did they ever track her to? Did did you ever have any indication that they had tracked her to your place? Did they ever show up?
Well, they tracked her close by because my property and my construction yard and stuff that I had, I saw that same car go one way and then come back by again. But they were getting maybe a weak signal because the bracelet or maybe off of her arm. But after we had wrapped her shoulder with aluminum foil under a long shirt, and all I had to do was, I had some duct tape in my shop, so we gave her the MacGyver treatment and duct taped it to her. And then that evening, we checked the bus schedule, and I got her a bus ticket and told her not to go to the town where her family lived, to go to the town near, and to get a relative to contact them personally at that town and take them to her, not for her to be brought to them. Because they found her once about a mile from her house,
mm-hmm.
2 years before. That's what she had told me. And I know the town very well. And I believe it was all true. I don't think she was a nutso. I think it was happening, and I don't know if I screwed up some of their work or what really took place, but it was real. It happened. Those people were looking for her. They were chasing her. They were tracking her. She had a bracelet on her leg. And
this was about 15 years ago, you said?
Yes.
Have you run into anyone since then who has told you that they were part of that same program? We have to take a break. We'll get the answer to that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Ed Grimsley. We're on Final Approach. I assume that we must have some technical issues with why we have not gotten any telephone calls tonight. But obviously, if that continues, we'll discontinue the call-in line. Ed, what I had asked before we took the break is, during this 15 years that has gone by since that incident, have you encountered anyone else that said to you that they were involved in that same program or a similar program of hybridization?
Yes, I've had some people at conferences that have told me that they were involved in some stuff and that... And, you know, you don't know what to believe or not believe, but I know one man who I met in the executive parts of the conferences at one of the conspiracy conferences, and he told me that he was a hybrid, and other people told me that he was too, and they were well-known conference people that give talks and lectures.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I can't tell you if he's a hybrid or not. I can tell you that other people are saying that it's going on. And I didn't know what was going on. I wondered about it, and I thought, how widespread is it? And, like, Miss Brown, the psychic, has said that there are hybrid aliens living among us, and that there are humanoid aliens here. And I kind of suspect that we've been infiltrated into our government by some humanoid aliens.
And all right, what makes you suspect that?
Well, you know, here we are, and a group of people are here with me, and we're looking up and we're watching them lay chemtrails and cloud up the air above us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all taking place in the last hour and a half, 2 hours from when we're doing the show. Well, if they're listening to my phone calls, they know that I'm going to be here with people tonight. Mm-hmm. Here they are, and these people are here, and they're watching it, and they're witnessing the craft laying these trails down and having them expand in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're evidently, they're doing things to change the weather or hide what's up there, and in doing so, try to find out, ask them, ask your government, which is really not your government, it's their own government, and they're doing what they want to us. And they're manipulating us and over-controlling us every turn of the road. I mean, so...
Well, you know, I will say that we often talk about that we are supposedly a free nation, and yet as I have traveled around the world, I have found places on this planet more free than right here because of all of the regulations and policies. And I mean, they regulate everything right down to what color of socks you can wear. And it's the weirdest definition of free I have found.
My father told me a long time ago before he passed away that we're only here and that we're free to do as we're told.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but on the other hand,
I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, and if I did, they'd probably shoot me if I had all the answers, but I can think of things. I can wonder what's going on, and I'm trying to find out the truth, the total truth, and it may never happen, or they may kill me for trying to find the truth, but, you know, people have died for less, so, I mean, if it happens, it happens. I mean, what better thing to live your life for than the world, the planet, and the truth?
Well, I agree with that entirely. I totally agree with that. In the past several years, when you've been doing these sky watches, have you encountered an increase? Have you encountered harassment from what you think are government people? And have you encountered an increase in that harassment over the past few years?
In the last 6 months, there's been an increase. And these chemtrails used to not come out and interfere. But everywhere I go, if it's advertised or known, then the weather turns bad. You can see the planes blowing the chemtrails out and doing the thing. And nobody has the answer. Oh, what is that? It's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody, somehow, aircraft, spending millions of dollars to do it. And for what reason? Don't we have starving people? Doesn't our government need money for the funding and the payroll and all these things? And yet, they're spending money out there dumping that crap in the air. Now, the things that they have found is a lot of that material is similar to the material that the Germans and Nazis used in the prison camps to pacify the prisoners and the people. Are we not being sprayed and pacified and perhaps poisoned? Are they not weakening us as we speak? Or are they making it better for another race to come in and take over? And why are all these underground tunnels, and why all these facilities, and why these prison camps, and why all these plastic caskets all laying around? And what, you know, they aren't ordering those for something that they don't know is going on. They know what's going on and what they're going to do. And I wouldn't doubt what Obama isn't part of it. It's just rather you get hit with the right hand or the left hand.
Right? Well, yeah, but look, I mean, you know I'm apolitical. But when you start saying that he is this or he is that, you got to have the beef.
Right. Well, I don't have all the beef, but I'm smart enough to see there's something going on and wondering what it is, and half the world is right along with me. And when I have people that go to the UN and talk about the chemtrails and the clouds and the pollution that's in it, and then the UN thanks them and doesn't make a comment or do anything about it, and this spraying is going on over different states everywhere. I mean, it's a massive force flying out there, doing it. So why are they doing it, and why aren't they telling us? Because maybe we wouldn't like it. So.
Well, I know it is mysterious, and as far as the chemtrails go, we get that almost on a daily basis here in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And, you know, it's not every day, but almost on a daily basis, we get those.
Right, and two years ago, you hardly had it happen. And it's going more and more and more. And it's lucky if you can look up and see a real clear sky once they start doing it.
Yeah, our skies...
rises and grows.
Our skies look kind of like a checkerboard after they do it. And I have shot some photographs of it. But, you know, I can't... I'm like you. I can't find anyone that will give a definitive answer as to here's what it is and here's how I know what it is. There's a lot of speculation that has been put out, but so far I haven't seen anyone with definitive information about what that is and why it's happening. We are just about out of time, Ed. I want to thank you for being with me this evening, and I really appreciate it. I know you've got a sky watch to do, but if you will, just stay on the line with me for just a moment because I want to talk with you just briefly after the show. And again, thanks for being with us. It's interesting as always.
Well, you're welcome, Kevin, and I think you're a straight-up guy, and you're trying to find the right answers, and you're not trying to be a politician, but you are a radio host, and that makes you a little bit rather you want to be.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, and just hang in there with me online for just a moment. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this evening, and we have come to the end of a week of talk show hell, and we look forward to next week being a better week technologically. Hopefully, Ustream can get their act together and get this thing fixed. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.